Election 2016 is off to a bumpy start. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright ended up apologizing after referencing an old line, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women." That she said in support of Hillary Clinton.
On the Republican side, the mudslinging and name-calling just intensified, with Marco Rubio going after Donald Trump, who's had no qualms about going after anyone since day one. Here's a bit of the most recent GOP debate featuring Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump.
Donald claims to care about
Donald,
Donald, I understand rules are very hard for you. They're very confusing.
I have his book.
Okay,
thank
you for the book.
That is the debate. And then we have more recent comments made by Marco Rubio addressing again Donald Trump.
But he's flying around on Air Force One and tweeting. So here's the one tweet he put out. He put out a picture of me having makeup put on me at the debate, which is amazing to me that a guy with the worst spray tan in America is attacking me for putting on makeup.
Well, our guest today says this year's campaigns are the dirtiest in decades. Joseph Cummins joins us now. He's the author of Anything for a Vote, Dirty Tricks, Cheap Shots, and October Surprises in U.S. Presidential Elections. Joseph, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I have to say that you stopped that quote before Marco Rubio made last night at Roanoke College, before he went on to talk about how small Donald Trump's tans were, which I think is probably the first small penis joke that I may have heard presidential candidates make about each other. And I've done a lot of studying of presidential campaigns.
Well, some interesting territory that the election is getting into this year. That's for sure, I guess, putting it mildly. So in the pantheon of dirty campaigns, and how dirty is election 2016 so far?
You know, I have a sleazometer that I use to rate American presidential election campaigns. And I have to say, this one is already a 10. In fact, it's ratcheting off the dial and may have to go a bit higher. I think probably this primary season, speaking now specifically of the primary season, is the dirtiest primary season since 1922 in what would end up between the Nixon-McGovern race. Especially in Iowa and New Hampshire, with Ted Cruz's people playing some really old-fashioned bare-knuckle dirty tricks, you know, sending false mailers to the people in Iowa, telling them that they would end up having their voting scores, quote-unquote, revealed to their neighbors, and claiming that Ben Carson had dropped out of the race. I mean, that's really classic stuff.
And I guess when we're talking about dirty campaigns, we're not just talking about, you know, insults like we just heard, mudslinging. We're talking about some sort of shady tactics, too, right?
We are, yeah. Although, and that's what the Ben Carson thing is, I think. These days, so far anyway, the main shady tactics have, and they're not really even that shady, have been the massive amounts of money being spent on commercials to trash the other candidate. If you're going back further in history in a number of different ways, there have been some really dirty, dirty elections. 1964 was one where you have Lyndon Johnson running against Barry Goldwater. It's one of the dirtiest elections that actually the American public did not know about.
What happened?
For some time. Yeah, where he formed a group of people to specifically go after Barry Goldwater, and even ended up sending E. Howard Hunt into Goldwater's campaign to pose as an aide and to steal Goldwater's position papers. So, and that's the kind of dirty, shady tactics that, you know, are pretty popular in American history. So
by that metric, maybe this race isn't so bad. It seems as though primarily what we're looking at here is a lot of insults.
Well, it's unusual, though, and it's unusual for a couple of reasons. I mean, the clip that you had of Marco Rubio talking, and then, of course, Donald Trump standing there on the debate stage yelling liar at Ted Cruz and choke artist at Rubio. You haven't actually seen this type of spectacle for some time, and I'm calling the election of, you know, 2016 a spectacle election, and it's part carnival, part Circus Maximus. So it isn't quite dirty, no, in that sense, but you really have to go all the way back to 1912 and the personality of Teddy Roosevelt, who basically disrupted and nearly destroyed the Republican Party at that time, to find an election that was anywhere close to this in terms of the way candidates comported themselves.
Well, so you've been tracking this over the years. You've been tracking it right now. What evidence is there about what kind of effect this has on the electorate to witness a race like this?
I think, normally speaking, and you know, there are some pretty dirty elections. 64 was one, 72 was another, 1988, George H.W. Bush and Dukakis was yet another. I think this one will have an effect on the electorate. And the reason I believe that is because I do think, even in this day and age, we like to think that our candidates are going to have at least a modicum of dignity on stage. I mean, what these guys are doing, I think, is, as almost anyone will attest, is very adolescent, very schoolyard stuff. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with the issues. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the things that are troubling America today. So, I mean, you know, call me a cockeyed optimist, but I like to think that people are going to get tired of that. But who knows? We'll see.
Well, we saw Donald Trump pretty much out of the gate being pretty aggressive toward his opponents. He had a sort of a Twitter war against Jeb Bush, who for a long time, Jeb Bush, along with everybody else, no one really wanted to respond in kind, and taking that the high road, which seems like it should appeal to a certain group of voters, that you're not engaging in the sort of insults that might be going around with other candidates. But it seems as though in this race, I don't know, does anyone really have the option of taking the high road?
Not anymore. I think Trump has proved that. I mean, when you call somebody, quote, unquote, low energy, you know, that's a tag that stuck with Bush, and he never was able to shake that. And the high road often doesn't work against really determined dirty tricks. If you look at 2004 and the swift voting of John Kerry, John Kerry was taken a bit by surprise by that attack, as he was supposed to be the Democrats' great, you know, war hero hope. But in fact, he did not respond effectively to those attacks during several primetime weeks in the summer of 2004, and he attempted to take the high road, and it actually, I think, it helped lose him the election. However, I don't think what Rubio is doing now is going to work too well either, because he's getting down into the mud with Trump. So I think that's taking too low a road, if you will. So.
What about the Democrats? How is their race stacking up?
Well, they basically seem like scholars and intellectuals compared to what's going on with the Republicans, which I think is really redefining the Republican Party. I mean, at least when you have Sanders and Hillary debating each other, they're talking about the issues. I mean, it isn't that they're not, you know, fustigating and, you know, telling a few lies here and there, but they really come across as people who are issue-oriented and who are attempting to find some solutions to things.
Now, we tend to look back to our forefathers sometimes, in times like this, the era of Jefferson, Washington,
yeah,
those days that were pure and untrammeled, or so we think. But it sounds like there really
those
was never at that time,
yeah,
was there, when there was pure politics and everyone took the high road?
Oh, yeah. I always say that really the only clean election in American history was 1789, when Washington ran unopposed. So, you know, beginning in 1800, really, it was only the fourth election in American history, and it was one of the dirtiest, where in those days, candidates, of course, did not themselves come out and attack each other. They retained, they stayed back in private, but Jefferson hired people to call Adams a hideous hermaphrodite and a repulsive pedant, and Adams got his own people to call Jefferson a godless atheist and a supporter of the terror of the French Revolution. And it basically got worse from there. Many of the icons in American history were involved in these political attacks. Davy Crockett claimed that Martin Van Buren wore women's clothing. Poor James Buchanan had a bit of a birth defect that caused his neck to tilt slightly to the left. So his opponents claimed that he had attempted to hang himself and failed. And would you really want a president who couldn't even hang himself properly? Et cetera, et cetera. Abraham Lincoln had smelly socks, you know, and onward. So really, the elections of 2016 right now remind me so much more of those elections, because in the 19th century, you had as many as 75% to 80% of the electorate turning out to vote. Those who could vote almost always did vote. And so it was a huge grand spectacle. And we're seeing this right now, even on the eve of Super Tuesday, where people who are voting early, there's a lot of people voting right now. A lot of people are interested in this. So I probably, one byproduct of some of the dirty tricks being played, or at least some of the sleazy campaigning, is that it does, frankly, get people interested.
So you think it's gonna up the turnout?
Yeah, definitely. It already has.
Well, we'll keep watching it. Joseph, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure.
That was Joseph Cummins, author of Anything for a Vote, Dirty Tricks, Cheap Shots, and October Surprises in U.S. Presidential Elections. He wrote about this year's race for Politico, and you can read his piece on the Central Time Facebook page.